Evening, we're going to begin our study on the book of Ezekiel. The lesson this evening is a little bit different than most every other lesson will be. This is more of a background, context, idea of where we are. It will not be much of a preaching, and I probably could have given you this just to have for yourself, but I wanted to walk through it the way that it is designed so you can understand the big points that we'll be looking at as we go through this particular book. You have an outline there, your first couple of pages. On the back side of that outline, I'm going to read something to you as we start this for just a moment. It says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time, but by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit," or the Holy Ghost, out of 2 Peter chapter 1. "Scripture does not have one meaning for you and another for me." Do I believe that you can read one scripture today and get something out of it, and then tomorrow read the same exact scripture and God reveals something in your own personal life? Absolutely, I do. But I also believe that when you study the scripture in prophecy, that God designed it and God desires for us to be able to understand it. In all these prophecies, God had an intended communication. They were given to us in the Bible for our learning and enlightenment. Now, there may be areas in Scripture where you and I may have different views. However, it is not selective nor a secret knowledge type thing. You are only guided by the Holy Spirit. Back in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." This is very evident in the book we're about to study. Ezekiel, in my opinion, is probably one of the most ignored books of the Old Testament. You have my notes in front of you. Everything that I'm going to read this evening you have, so it's different than most lessons will be. We're going to walk through the outline. I'm going to tell you the setting of where we are. And as you continue to look here, you'll see that we'll go through an area of different years, how the book is broken down by years, how the book is broken down by themes, and how the book is broken down by audiences. I'm going to try to teach it by this outline. That's the reason why you have a certain keywords that we're going to walk through this evening. The book of Ezekiel, it'll take us about 40 weeks beginning here, but the theme of this book, the theme of the book of Ezekiel, is restoring the spiritual heart of the nation. Restoring the spiritual heart of the nation. The key verse for this scripture, or the key verse for this book, is in Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 7. And it reads, "And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." The key point of this verse, the key point of Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 7, is simply, "Ye shall know that I am the Lord." This statement, this phrase, is found 70 times in this book. This statement is found 70 times in this book. It's kind of like the book of Daniel, if you remember. The two phrases we looked at oftentimes was the fullness of the Gentiles and the times of the Gentiles. This phrase will be the phrase that we look just about every single lesson as we walk through these chapters in the book of Ezekiel. The next thing I want to look at this evening is the timeline for Ezekiel's ministry. These main points that you're going to fill in are going to be the points that we are going to look at each week as we come to this particular subject. The timeline for Ezekiel's ministry, 605 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar takes the temple treasures to Babylon, and Daniel was taken captive. 605 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar takes the temple treasures to Babylon, and Daniel was taken captive. The book of Daniel, this particular year, was mentioned often. We talked about Nebuchadnezzar on numerous occasions all throughout that book. 605, Daniel was taken captive. Number two, 597 B.C., Ezekiel was taken captive at the age of 25. 597 B.C., Ezekiel was taken captive to Babylon at the age of 25. This next one's probably one of my favorite. I've studied it from different people, different mindsets, different ideas, and it's something that I'm looking forward to and excited to preach on next week. 593 B.C. is Ezekiel's call to the ministry. Ezekiel's call to the ministry at the age of 30. When we get to Ezekiel chapter 8, beginning in verse 1 of the year 592 B.C., we will look at Ezekiel's vision of the temple in Jerusalem. Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel interprets Israel's history. In 588 BC, we're going to look at this siege of Jerusalem. Multiple stages, multiple things take place. Beginning in Ezekiel chapter 24, Ezekiel 27, Ezekiel 29, and we will hint toward it in Ezekiel chapter 4. The siege of Jerusalem begins in 588 BC. In 587 through 585 BC, Ezekiel's message against Egypt and Ezekiel's message against Tyre. In 586 B.C., this is something we looked at numerous occasions in the book of Daniel, starting in Daniel chapter 7, Jerusalem destroyed by the Babylonian army. In 585 B.C., news comes to Ezekiel of Jerusalem's destruction. I know many of you are attending Sam's class in the book of Revelation on Sunday nights at 5. If you're not, that's a great study, does a good job. But when you study the book of Revelation, Sam would probably agree with this. There's two books that go kind of hand in hand with Revelation. The book of Daniel and the book of Ezekiel. Many people lean toward Daniel more than Ezekiel, but this next particular point is something really for Israel that is true, but it's something that we can look forward to as believers. In 573 B.C., Ezekiel is going to discuss the vision of Israel's glorious future. And finally, in 571 B.C., Ezekiel's message that Babylon will defeat Egypt. So your timeline for Ezekiel's ministry, the words that you filled in, Daniel being taken captive, Ezekiel being taken captive, Ezekiel being called to the ministry at the age of 30, his vision to the temple in Jerusalem, the interpretation of Israel's history, the siege of Jerusalem that we're going to talk about in multiple stages, that Ezekiel had a message against Egypt and Tyre, and that Jerusalem would be destroyed by the Babylonian army. And then the final three main points as we continue through about chapters 33 toward the end of the book per se. You'll look at news comes to Ezekiel of Jerusalem's destruction, Israel's glorious future, and Ezekiel's message that Babylon will defeat Egypt. These will be our points that we walk through each week in each chapter of the book. But the historical background is important as well. You have two kingdoms. If you know anything about Bible per se, you know these two kingdoms already. Number one, you have the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom. Under the northern kingdom, we see 19 kings that reigned for 250 years. You see seven different dynasties in the Assyrian captivity of 721 B.C., that we will reference on numerous occasions, but it's not talked about in great detail in this particular book. The northern kingdom is Israel. But then your second kingdom of utmost importance is the southern kingdom of Judah. Here we will see that 20 kings reigned over 370 years. It was made up of one dynasty. And the Babylonian captivity took place in 606 BC of 70 years. Point number three this evening, after looking at the theme, the timeline, and the historical background of the two kingdoms, we're going to look at the man himself, Ezekiel, the man. What can we know about Ezekiel? What can we understand as we begin this particular study looking in chapter 1? Ezekiel's name means God strengthens, or God will strengthen. Ezekiel's name means God strengthens, or God will strengthen. Ezekiel is one of the three that were called the captivity prophets. The other two are Jeremiah and Daniel. Ezekiel is one of the three that were called the captivity prophets. The other two were Jeremiah and Daniel. It was during the 11-year reign of King Jehoiakim that the first deportation took place when Daniel was taken captive. Ezekiel never mentions Jeremiah in his writings, but he does mention Daniel on three occasions that we will look at as we walk through this particular book. What else can we know about Ezekiel at this point as we prepare for the study? Ezekiel was a priest. Ezekiel was a priest, but he never served in that office. Ezekiel was a priest, but he never served in that office. Ezekiel was a priest, but he never served in that office. Why? Because he was taken captive to Babylon during the second deportation in the reign of Jehoiakim, who was the king of Judah that followed King Jehoiakim. If you look in 2 Kings 24, Ezekiel was with the captives who had been brought down to the river of Babylon. The captives had been placed by the great canal that came off the river Euphrates that we will look at in great detail beginning at next Sunday, which was several miles from Babylon itself. Ezekiel's ministry was among those people. A few things I want you to remember as we walk through this. First and foremost, Ezekiel's name means that God strengthens, or God will strengthen. Second thing that's most important about Ezekiel, that he was 30 years old when God called him to the ministry. And then finally, as you continue to study this particular book, he was one of the three captivity prophets when you study Jeremiah and Daniel that we will look at in detail. What do we know about the captivity prophets? What can we understand this evening? Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel each had a particular and a peculiar ministry to a certain group of people. And apparently they never came in contact with one another, many believe. From the record in the book of Daniel, you would not gather that Daniel ever visited his people in Babylon where Ezekiel was, yet he had great concern for them, and he actually defended them. So how is it possible when you study Daniel, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah that they're talking about some of the same time frames if they have not met each other per se, had conversations with one another, or even really understand what the other is going through? Here is how it makes sense. Here's why on the end of your outline you had the reference from the book of Peter. Though the prophet was in distant Babylon, he was able to see the events in Jerusalem through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the unifying factor, I think, that we miss oftentimes, is how can God make something happen by using three individuals from three different parts of life or roads of life and make this make sense for us? And it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Just as each church and churches gather week after week, just as Brother Keith picks the song to the praise team and the choir, yes, now I do share what I am going to preach, but I also believe that the Holy Spirit is a lot smarter than me and a lot smarter than Brother Keith and allows things to come together. It's the unifying factor for us as believers. It's what God used to speak to Daniel. It's what God used to speak to Ezekiel. And it's what God used to speak to Jeremiah. But it's also what God used to speak to you and to me. Though the prophet was in distant Babylon, he was able to see the events that was taking place in Jerusalem through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Ezekiel not only proclaimed God's message to the people, but he had to live the message before them. Think about that phrase for a moment. You ever had somebody say that you're supposed to live like a Christian, you're supposed to live like a preacher? I've heard that a time or two, and I asked them, what exactly does that mean? Because if you go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, you'll see the outline of the guidelines for a minister and or a deacon. But I also believe this, that if every believer held to those faults of 1 Timothy chapter 3, then we'd understand what it means to live a life that brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ as we pick that apart. Do I believe that 1 Timothy chapter 3 is written to the two offices in the church? Yes, I do. I believe it's written to the pastor and to the deacon, or to the bishop, the overseer, and the deacon. He not only had a message to tell, but he's trying to live it in front of them. Listen to this for a moment, though. At a very young age, he's being used by God. Jeremiah had told them to settle down in Babylon for 70 years, but the false prophets told the people that God would destroy Babylon and set the captives free. And about Ezekiel 22, we'll cross-reference with this of Jeremiah chapters 28 and 29 to see exactly what the captivity prophets were trying to tell their audience and how each of them went about it. Jeremiah had told them to settle down in Babylon for 70 years, but the false prophets told the people that God would destroy Babylon and set the captives free. It was Ezekiel's task to tell the people that God would destroy Jerusalem. It was Ezekiel's task to tell the people that God would destroy Jerusalem, not Babylon. Here's the theme of the book that we mentioned a moment ago, that each of the captivity prophets were trying to share to their audiences. Listen to it as one. It was Ezekiel's task to tell the people that God would destroy Jerusalem, not Babylon, but that there would one day be a glorious restoration of the people and the rebuilding of the temple. There's the theme of the book of Ezekiel. There's the task at hand for Ezekiel. I don't know if you ever really studied this book. I've read it a time or two when I've read through the Bible. But some strange similes that we're going to look at and understand and try to figure out what Ezekiel was going through and the things that he was facing. Maybe if you've read this, you've noticed this, you've understood this, you may even caught your attention on some of the things that Ezekiel was doing. What were some of those things? He shuts himself up in his home, isolation. I believe it happens to a lot of people. I believe it happens to ministers oftentimes, that they isolate themselves. He binds himself. Why would that be? We'll talk about that in a moment. If you remember on Sunday morning a couple of weeks ago, we looked at a man named Legion. We talked about a needed salvation. And what took place in this particular individual's life is he was being controlled by a demon. He had a demonic spirit in him. But the people that were around him were trying to bind him in chains. That was one of the thoughts that we looked at last week. He binds himself. He is struck dumb. Now, why would a man at the age of 30 answer the call that God has for him to tell the task and to live the task that God has for him? Why would he be struck dumb? Here's an important number. That's why it's underlined for you to fill in. He was to lie on his right side and his left side for a total of 430 days. The next point, as you look at this and you study the Old Testament law, you know what's clean and what is unclean, what is expected of you if you're in the presence of the Lord, the things that you're supposed to do in preparation to offer maybe a sacrifice. We're going to look at this. He ate bread that was prepared in an unclean manner. He shaved his head and his beard. I read that, and I got to wondering, why in the world would this happen? We're going to talk about it in detail. He shaved his head and his beard, which was considered a shame in his particular calling. Now, we're going to look at this from different angles when we get there. We're going to look at three different theologians, per se, those who have written commentaries, but most importantly, we're going to cross-reference it with Scripture and try to figure out why this simile is taught and why Ezekiel faced these things. We looked at Ezekiel's timeline a minute ago, starting about 605 B.C., going down to about 530 per se, and a little bit further. But I want to look at the organization of Ezekiel's books by, I would say, the judgment of God. His book may also be divided into three sections following the prophet's call in Ezekiel's chapters 1, 2, and 3. In chapters 4 through 24, we look at God's judgment on Jerusalem. In chapters 4 through 24, during the time frame of the outline that I gave you a moment ago, we'll be looking at God's judgment on Jerusalem. In chapters 25 through 32, we'll be looking at God's judgment on the surrounding nations. And then it gets to the good part. I would consider the theme of the book, chapters 33 through 48, is God's restoration of the Jews in the kingdom. This may not be of significance of you or of importance, but I want you to look at something for just a moment. God's judgment on Jerusalem takes 20 chapters for Ezekiel to discuss the things of God's chosen people. God's judgment on the surrounding nation takes 7 chapters, as Ezekiel explains that. And then finally, the restoration of the Jews in the kingdom takes about 15 chapters. Now, why is this of importance? Why did it take the Jews 20 chapters to listen to what Ezekiel was trying to tell them and teach them? How come the judgment of the surrounding chapters only took 7 and the restoration of this nation or this kingdom took 15. It's going to be of importance. We're going to talk about that. But if you think about chapters 33 through 48, it's broken down into sub-chapters or sub-ideas or really different regions. The Valley of Dry Bones, that was mentioned in the latter part of the book of Daniel. Gog and Magog of chapters 38 and 39. And then what we call the Stone Kingdom, which is the final kingdom that was mentioned in the book of Daniel. We'll look at the millennium in chapters 40 through 48. You're going to see next week that the siege took place in 3 different times or 3 different waves per se. So as we look at these 3 chapters, we're looking at 1 through 24, 25 through 32, and 33 through 48, which is the judgment on Jerusalem, the judgment on the surrounding nations, and the restoration of the Jews in the kingdom. The time frame of the siege is of importance. Chapters 1 through 24, These were given before the siege of Jerusalem. Chapters 25 through 32, these were given during the siege. And the last blank is pretty self-explanatory, 33 through 48. These were given after the siege. To be honest with you, when I was preparing this, I was trying to think of another word to use, not after, because I know some of you are going to go ahead and write after in the blank, and I wanted you to have to correct that mistake, but I'm not that mean of a person anymore. Chapters 1 through 24, before the siege, 25 through 32, during, 33 through 48, after. If you take the time to study ahead, per se, of the timeline of this book, and you look at the major themes and the similes that we mentioned a moment ago, and then we looked at the judgment of Jerusalem, the judgment of the surrounding nations, and the restoration of the kingdom of Jerusalem, you're going to look at the sequencing of the book of Ezekiel. It goes hand in hand. Just like on the timeline, the things that are underlined of utmost importance to me that I'm going to try to emphasize to you, that timeline with this particular theme of the judgment, moving to when the siege took place, whether it be the information given before, during, or after, follows with the sequencing of this book that we're going to look at for just a moment. In chapters 1:1 through chapter 3:15, we see Ezekiel's call to prophecy. Ezekiel's call to prophecy. In chapters 3, verse 16 through 7:27, the symbolic prediction of Jerusalem's destruction of importance here. 14 months later, a vision of the temple polluted. A vision of the temple polluted. Here we're going to look at in chapters 8 through 11. God's consequent scattering of fire over the city and forsaking of the temple to reveal himself to an inquiring people in exile, happier and purer times to follow. Have you ever studied God's Word and through the power of the Holy Spirit, God exposes things to you, maybe sins or grudges, things that you're facing? I believe God can do that through the power of the Holy Spirit, but I believe also God can do it through someone who is in the will of God that is coming to you from an accountability aspect to tell and discuss the things that you're facing so that God can restore you. That's exactly what Ezekiel does in chapters 12 through chapter 19. The exposure of the particular sins prevalent in the priests, in the prophets, in the princes.
A vision of the temple polluted. In chapters 12 through 19, we look at the exposure of the particular sins of the priests, the prophets, and the princes. A year later, the warning of judgment for national guilt repeated with greater distinctions as the time drew near of chapters 20 through chapters 23. 2 years and 5 months later, the very day on which Ezekiel speaks, the day of the beginning of the siege, Jerusalem shall be overthrown, beginning in chapter 24 through 27. Predictions against Muslim nations during the interval of silence towards his own people. If judgment begins at the house of God, much more will it visit to the ungodly world. As we look at those seven chapters of 25 through 32, some of these were uttered much later than others. Some of these were uttered much later than others, but they all began to be given after the fall of Jerusalem. In the 12th year of captivity, when the fugitives from Jerusalem had appeared in Chaldea, looking in chapter 33:21, he foretells better times. He foretells better times. The reestablishment of Israel. And the triumph of God's kingdom over the triumph of God's kingdom on the earth over its enemies. Islam and Gog of chapters 33 through 39. In verses chapters 40 through 48. In chapters 40 through 48, after an interval of 13 years, the closing vision of the restored kingdom will be discussed. If you have your Bible, I want to read a couple of verses to you as we prepare for next week. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. I want to look at this particular vision for a moment to prepare you for next week. Beginning in verse 4. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance, that had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight. Verse 10 will be a key verse that we're going to look at this evening, and or next week. And if it's something that you want to prepare for, here's something that you can study. As for the likeness of their faces, as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion, on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four also had the face of an eagle. In 2 Peter chapter 1, I gave you this verse this evening, beginning this outline in the background of the book of Ezekiel, 2 Peter 1, 20 through 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In the book of Daniel, I gave you a letter at the beginning of that book of the goal of that particular study. I didn't do it this time because at the time I did not really understand or what I was aiming for the goal to be. The goal that I would like for us to look at, looking at the timeline, the historical background of the northern and the southern kingdom, the similes of Ezekiel, the breakdown of the book and the sequence of events, is the idea that's found in the 2 Peter chapter 1. That each man that wrote of the prophecy was instigated and nudged by the Holy Spirit of God. May we be a church that listens to the Spirit of God. May we be a church that is not of Jerusalem, that it takes 20 chapters to discuss the things that they are facing because of bad decisions. But may we be of a church that understands the meaning of the book of Ezekiel, that God will strengthen us. May we be a church that senses the urgency of the Great Commission as we study this book. You cannot understand it. You will not grasp that if you don't understand the urgency of the Holy Spirit that's found in and through God, that God may be honored and God may be glorified. I pray that you listen to the Spirit as He works in you, maybe for salvation, and day in and day out. God, we love You. We thank You for this book as we thank you for the Word of God, inspired by you, and God, for your honor and for your glory. God, I pray that as we walk through these next 40-plus chapters, God, that it will be that you are honored and you are glorified, that we'll be as Ezekiel, that our strength will be found in you and you alone. God, that we'll listen to the power of the Holy Spirit. God, that we'll submit ourselves in humble obedience. And God, most of all, when all said and done, as we look up, God, we are making differences for the kingdom, for you and for you alone. We love you. We thank you for what you're doing. We give you all praise and adoration. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.